thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Once again, our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. During this time of the year, we take the opportunity to really celebrate and focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an important part of the gospel, the good news that Jesus not only died on Calvary's cross and paid the penalty for our sins through his death on the cross, but ultimately he was victorious through the resurrection. Jesus Christ rose again. And so with our episode today, I want to take the opportunity to consider the glorious fact of the resurrection. The correct understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is of great importance today, when so many professing Christians differ as to its meaning and worth. We are to contend, the Bible says, for the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9, and we're to separate from those who do not hold to that doctrine. The bodily resurrection of Christ is an indispensable part of the teaching concerning the Son of God. It is a glorious and essential fact. No true born-again believer should be indifferent as to what the Bible declares to be the truth. And the Word of God clearly states, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." 1 Corinthians 15:17. The fact that Jesus is God incarnate, that is, made human flesh, requires the resurrection. God cannot be held in death. Therefore, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, "It was not possible that he," Jesus Christ, "should be holden of it," that is, death. The testimony of Christ is clear on this fact. The indisputable fact of the resurrection can be seen in Jesus Christ's own testimony. Concerning this, Jesus said, quote, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day," Luke 9:22. Jesus knew not only that he had to die as the sacrifice for the sin of the world, but that he also would be raised again from the grave to reveal this was a work of God. What does the Bible have to say concerning this? Well, through its prophetic and direct statements, the Bible reveals the indisputable fact of Christ's resurrection. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the psalmist prophesied, quote, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One," that is Jesus Christ, "to see corruption," Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10. Well, this prophecy was literally fulfilled when Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, there is no possibility of error in the interpretation of this prophecy, because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter quoted this Old Testament prophecy in Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. And Peter said concerning the psalmist's words, "He," quote, "he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Acts chapter 2, verses 31 and 32. The testimony of many individuals who saw the resurrected Christ gives us further undeniable proof of the resurrection. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, quote, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once." We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. The resurrection is the heart of the gospel message. In fact, the Apostle Peter preached the resurrection without apology. We see this in Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Paul also was unswerving in his proclamation of this glorious truth. We notice this in Acts chapter 17. verses 2, 3, and 4. You see, these eyewitnesses went out with boldness and joy because they knew that they served a risen Lord who perfectly fulfilled all that he had spoken. We can also consider the empty tomb. Without question, the empty tomb shows that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, "The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." This was not merely a spiritual resurrection, nor was it thievery or trickery. Jesus Christ had risen bodily as he said. In fact, his own words in John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, confirm this fact that he rose bodily from the grave. In John 2, 19, Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then in verse 21, this temple mentioned by Jesus is clearly the temple of his body. The disciples remembered this discourse, these words of Jesus, after Jesus was risen, and therefore they accepted Christ's bodily resurrection as fact. The fact of the resurrection is established by Scripture itself. As Bible believers, we can rest in this blessed truth, and we can contend boldly with any who would attempt to discredit this historical account. To the believer, the resurrection means so much. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, certain blessings and promises are afforded to those who have entrusted their souls to the living Savior. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ's sacrificial payment for sin, our sin, was accepted by God the Father. Jesus shed his blood as the payment for your sin and mine. We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "And he," that is Jesus, "is the propitiation, that is the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You see, the perfect sacrifice was offered in our behalf, and any lost sinner is justified or declared righteous by God by trusting in Jesus Christ's precious blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, God's word states, "Jesus was delivered for our offenses," and yet notice, "and was raised again for our justification." We are justified. We are declared righteous by faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. God the Son was raised again because God the Father had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection as the perfect and only basis for our justification. Also, the resurrection shows us that the Lord has the power to give life to those who believe. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam," in reference to Jesus Christ, "was made a quickening spirit." The assertion of this scripture is that Jesus Christ has the ability to quicken or to make alive. In the Gospel of John, the Savior declares in chapter 5 and verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth," or makes alive, "whom he will." We see, therefore, the resurrected Savior is the one who has this life-giving power. Today, he imparts life to all who believe on him alone. John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Well then, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, the resurrection assures us of the power needed to live a victorious Christian life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, notice, when he raised him from the dead. Dear believer, there will never be a trial too great, any burden too heavy, or any temptation too strong that cannot be met with the power of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ within. You see, the same power that raised up Jesus is available to all who believe. As we learn to trust him more, and as we learn to trust ourselves less, he will be able to display his mighty power in us and through us. Finally, the resurrection reveals the pattern of what lies ahead for the believer. You see, Jesus Christ is the first fruits, that is, the firstborn from the dead. He was resurrected from the grave, and the promise is, then, that we will be raised in like manner. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 addresses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, because Jesus Christ arose, all who are his shall, at his appearing, receive new, glorified resurrection bodies. Whether living or dead, 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us, we shall all be changed. What a blessed future is in store for all who place their trust in the resurrected Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Everlasting life is ours. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a glorious fact. Jesus Christ lives today. We serve a risen Savior. He imparts life to lost souls who believe the gospel message. He empowers believers to live victorious Christian lives. So my question that I have for you this morning is, do you know the risen Lord as your personal Savior? He died to pay the penalty for your sins, and he arose victorious from the grave. My exhortation to you, I plead with you to trust him as your Savior today. This is the gospel. This is the good news. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching and he says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that is Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him, that is Jesus Christ, from the dead." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus says in John chapter 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What a blessing that we can rest assured in the fact, not only of the death of Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins, but in the fact of his glorious resurrection, victorious over death. Our prayer is that you trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation today. You can have a relationship with God right now because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank you for tuning into this episode of FEA Today. May the Lord bless you as you take the time, especially this week, to remember the glorious fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.